Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ariel Helwani's MMA Show!
Hello, everyone. So good to be here. So good to present to you the fastest growing MMA post show in all of the universe. This is Ariel Helwani's MMA post show right here on ESPN. And I think we have a few things to discuss. Now, typically I like to wax poetic about everything going on in the world and talk to you about Crust First and the revolution that is taking over this planet. But my friends, I have some breaking news. For the last few years, my friends, I have been urging, I have been pleading, I have been begging for New York Rick to get a haircut. Clean it up. Go back to the old New York Rick. You're a father now. Come on. Let's do it. Let's grow up. Let's mature. We're at ESPN now. The worldwide leader. This isn't the old days. This isn't amateur hour. This is the big time. And my friends, I am proud to say, as I sit here in front of you today, I am proud to say that he has finally listened to my advice. I present to you the brand new, just like he once was, New York Rick. There he is. Wow. Look at that. Look at him. Wow. Looking like he did back in 2012 when we met for the first time in January of that year. Look at this. It is gone. It is all gone. Not only is it gone on top, it's gone on the face too.
Yeah,
like you just went total reset.
Yeah, you got to clean the canvas. You got to just, you know, erase it, do it all over. Not how it's going to stay.
What does that mean?
You know, I'm going to grow it out a little bit, but I wanted to get it all the way down as much as I could so I could donate the most hair. So I could give the most that I could possibly get.
Okay,
but obviously I'm going to grow out maybe an undercut of some sort, something I can sweep over a little bit more.
Yeah.
But the man bun is officially dead
gone. When did we do this?
I did this on Friday night.
And how do we feel about it?
I'm a little emotional about it.
Are you? Did you cry?
No, I didn't cry, but it's weird to look in the mirror.
Yeah.
Like it was a part of my thing.
But does it feel like you've gone back? Like you look younger.
I look younger.
It's honestly,
that's
jarring.
That's more the
yeah. Yeah. Why'd you do the face too? You're not gonna donate that, right?
I'm not gonna donate that. I don't think they'd take it. But why did I do that? Because it was a reset. It was a mental thing.
And you did it because
it was time.
It was time. You felt it was time.
I've been pushed in that direction.
Oh, stop it! Don't blame it on me.
No, I'm not. It's not blame because again, like. You've been saying this for a long time. It wasn't that all of a sudden it happened, you know, due to your influence. But it felt like the right time. I was delaying it for a little bit, and then I just woke up this week. I think it was on Friday, and I was like, "Today's the day." Mm. And then I made it the day.
I like it.
But I will grow back the facial hair for sure.
Yeah.
Because and I'm looking.
Where's the hair going?
Young. We'll do something nice. Something styled.
You haven't. Decided.
I haven't established it yet, but it'll happen.
Okay. And what does your wife think about it?
She loves it.
She's happy.
I mean, this is the person she met.
Yeah, that's true.
If anybody's been watching our show for a long time, they know that I used to rock the close cut.
It's time.
But man bun is gone.
It's time to move on. Wow.
Rest in peace.
Yeah.
I'll miss it dearly.
And it feels apropos considering where we are in the world of MMA, this new era post UFC 229, a brave new world.
And now I'm entering.
I feel like your timing is great. Mazel tov, well done. I know it was tough, but I'm very proud of you. Now, before we move along, let me just give a special shout out to social media guru of one ESPN, the great Katie Daly, who I was with in Las Vegas this past weekend, who told me that she is a crust firster herself. So, of course, she's probably consuming this program right off the top before our normal show.
Sure.
And I just wanted to thank her for all the support and for helping me out this weekend. Also, Brendan Kaminsky, who's probably not listening to this right now, but if he is, we love him as well for all the help that he has provided us. Now, UFC 229, I'd love to sit here and do 30 minutes on your hair, but unfortunately, you picked a bad weekend to cut your hair because we don't have a lot of time to waste. Jake back there has a 6 o'clock train back to Long Island to catch, and he's in a bit of a rush, so we can't waste any more time. Now, UFC 229,
yes.
It has come and gone. Let us talk about the fight first, if we can.
Sure.
Did it go as planned?
As planned for who?
As you thought.
I thought. Yes. I picked in one of my betting picks on this card was Khabib. I think that was the method. I actually thought it was going to end sooner. So I have to give credit where it's due to Conor McGregor. I thought that he would be out of there sooner. When Khabib gets on top, that's typically the end for most people. He hung very tough. In fact, coming back to win the third round on the judges' scorecards and on my scorecard as well. So I think he deserves credit for how he looked in that performance. But as far as the outcome, that was the one I suspected.
First round, Khabib 10-9. Second round, Khabib 10-8.
Possibly 10-8, yeah.
Third round, Conor.
Conor 10-9.
You're okay with that?
I had it that way.
Yeah, and then, of course, the finish in the fourth.
Yeah.
What'd you make of the spectacle, the entrance? The smoke was a little funny.
Sure.
Not sure if I loved it. Did you like that? And also, why smoke for Conor and no smoke for the champ?
Indifferent to it. Didn't enhance it in any way for me. But also, I don't care.
UFC brought out their A game. John Malkovich voicing
teases. Yeah, the promo was incredible.
10,000 people at the ceremonial weigh-ins. It felt like a big deal. The A-listers were out. And superstars were out.
And the card delivered to that point.
Card delivered.
It built up to the crescendo.
The much maligned UFC 229 card, performance after performance. And what was best about it is, like, Derek Lewis is a byproduct of being on a Conor McGregor card now. Like, he is a superstar. He gained, at this point, probably 600,000 Instagram followers just from that performance and then the post-fight interview. Like, the world was talking about Derek Lewis. Dominic Reyes had a star-making performance, I thought. Of course, Tony Ferguson as well, even though he skipped out on the show, we still love him. And then what happened in the main event. So I thought it was a tremendous night for the UFC, right?
Huge win.
We can talk about the post-fight.
Yeah.
Before I get to that, was that Conor McGregor's worst performance in the UFC?
Was it his worst performance in the UFC? No. Losing
to Nate?
To Nate is
worse?
A worse performance.
Yeah.
Undoubtedly. I think Khabib is a significantly better fighter than Nate.
Right.
All due respect to Nate, I think Khabib is better. I think Khabib is the best 155er and probably the best 170 or 145er. Anybody under a certain weight, he's that guy. I've been saying that for a long time. I think he proved it. And no, there's no – Conor McGregor had a performance. I would think that if people were on the side of the fence that I was, feeling like Khabib is that good and was going to do that, I think his performance was better than expected. So I would say no.
I think a lot of people thought it would be the Barbosa fight again.
They thought he'd
three
walk
rounds,
over him.
Yeah.
And Conor hung tough throughout. I mean, there was a point in the second round where it looked like this was over and Conor didn't give in.
Yeah.
So I would say no.
Yeah, when he rocked
him. not even close to his worst performance.
So he loses.
Yeah.
And by the way, I mean, I agree with you. You can make a very strong case right now, Khabib Nurmagomedov, number one pound-for-pound fighter in the world, on his way to being the best lightweight of all time.
No doubt.
Again, I still believe he's the most dominant force in our sport.
Yeah.
No one has been able to really put any kind of crack in his armor. It's remarkable, right? We keep talking about the Michael Johnson fight, like when he sort of wobbled him. Like, that's the one moment, right? It's like Shane Mosley when he rocked Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah.
Like, you can just point to one moment, and the rest is just pure brilliance. And so we get to the post-fight. And we get to the moment where he's talking over Conor, and Conor just takes it, doesn't say a word back to him, right?
Yep.
And then he goes in the direction of Conor's team and Dylan Danis in particular, and then he jumps over. You're watching all of this. What are you thinking?
Holy shit.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the only thing on my mind was now understanding that in this circumstance, this is something that's happened before and will happen again, I imagine. Jumping the cage is not a rare occurrence. It's something that other fighters have done. Now, the beeline toward Dylan Danis and the way he, you know, how fast he got up there was certainly startling. But I didn't think anything that major would come of it. because we've seen fighters jump the cage before. It's not.
Yeah, but we've seen fighters jump the cage to celebrate, not so much to attack.
No. Sometimes to go after people. And
when have we seen? We saw Connor and Aldo.
Connor jumped the cage.
He did that to like yell at him. Like there were no punches thrown. And then when else?
I'm saying until that point.
Yeah, but when else? I don't think I've seen it.
Yeah, it's happened.
It has?
Pointing, making a point.
This was very clear that he was going to
attack. Certainly, yes, and how fast he did it.
It's like a drop kick.
But there's also so many people in there. There's security. There's probably more security for this fight. I really didn't think it would turn into what it turned into. But at the same time, I don't think ultimately the action that happened outside the cage was that impactful. Nobody really got hurt in that part of it.
So the big difference between that and Strikeforce, of course, was that spilled out, right? So it could have been.
Oh, there's no doubt that what happened was extremely dangerous.
Could have been a disaster.
But the results.
Credit to UFC, credit to MGM, credit to security.
Absolutely.
Everyone was on point. The problem was that distracted everyone from what was happening in the cage.
And that to me was the biggest issue.
That was thuggery.
Yeah.
You cannot attack a guy who just fought. I don't care what happened. Like Chael says it best. The words are the words. And just because he did something doesn't make it right.
No.
Like, this isn't third grade, right?
Not at all.
That part to me was disturbing. And if I could just ask the world to please stop sending me Conor McGregor through the first punch, please, this fight, this feud is bringing out the absolute worst of MMA social media. I mean, you should see the messages that I'm getting.
I'm sure.
You should see the messages that I'm getting. I mean, it's just, it's appalling.
Yeah.
Conor McGregor threw the first punch after Khabib was in the crowd attacking his team and other members of Khabib's team were in the cage.
Where they don't belong.
Where they don't belong with, you know, intent in their eyes.
Sure.
To do something. What did you want him to do?
At that point.
And by the way, to interrupt. Lest we forget, he just got in a fight.
Yeah.
Who knows how much is up there right now? You know what I mean? He just got choked out.
Yeah, agreed. But at that
point. Conor McGregor threw the first punch. Shut up. Leave me alone. Leave everyone alone. Shut up. We do not care about who threw the first punch. That turned into a brawl. Enough.
Yes.
Please, for the sake of our sanity, enough.
Yeah, at that point, Conor McGregor has to look out for his own safety. I believe he felt threatened, and I believe rightfully so. I have no issue with anything that happened on Conor McGregor's side.
I mean, it's very clear. And this is not us. Like, what do you want us to say? What he did in Brooklyn, and I said it a million times.
Yeah.
And I had Rose on the show, and I had Ray Borg on the show, and I had Michael Chiesa on the show. I had everyone under the sun. What he did in Brooklyn was indefensible. Go back to that show after Brooklyn.
Yep.
I said it. What, you want me to keep repeating it every week? What do you want us to do?
And the two things are not related.
Well, exactly. Oh, but he did this. Do you realize how stupid you people sound?
Yeah.
Do you realize? Now, it's important to talk about Brooklyn when talking about the sort of thought process behind what Khabib did. I'm having a hard time blaming Khabib. You don't hear me sit, like, I'm not saying, I don't think Khabib should be stripped. I don't think he should be suspended.
Yeah.
I understand what. Fine. All right. You want to fine him? Go ahead, slap him on the wrist. But what is the suspension anyway? 6 months? Who cares, right?
Yeah.
Well, he's not fighting in 6 months. I have a problem with members of his team piecing up Connor.
Yeah, of course.
Lighting him up.
Of course.
That was between him and Khabib. By the way, those guys weren't on the bus.
Yeah.
Right? So I have a problem with that. And one has nothing to do with the other. Oh, you defend Connor. No, in that moment, Connor's hands are clean. I'm sorry.
I have no issue there. I think the heart of this matter is justice. The heart of this entire thing is justice.
Yes.
Khabib and his team feel like Connor has skated by too long without being checked. Nobody's checked Connor. And they felt, and Khabib and his team took it upon themselves. They felt that it was their responsibility, that the fight wasn't enough. Connor hadn't been punished, that this was an unjust situation. Why is he allowed to get away with things that I'm not allowed to get away with? And they took it upon themselves to enact that.
Well, that was the theme of the week.
Certainly.
Why should he come late?
And in the post-fight speech, he spoke very pointedly about the idea, this is the laundry list of things Connor's done. Why is everybody talking about me? So at the heart of all of this, I think more than any personal attacks, I really don't believe personal attacks are what this is about. I think this is about Khabib and his team feeling that Connor's been unchecked, feeling that there isn't justice in the way he's treated, and they took it upon themselves to try to enact that justice. It's misguided, obviously. I don't think that there's any justification for being able to jump into the cage and attack somebody. But it stems from that. It stems from feeling like they're being treated differently and he's being treated differently than they are. It's unfortunate that it came to that. But I don't think there's any denying or doubt that this is the heart of the matter.
I understand where he's coming from. I understand how personal it is. I understand when you talk about his dad, it's deeply personal. As we're doing this right now, there is a soccer stadium filled with people who are celebrating Khabib and his family. It's just very personal, right?
Absolutely.
And you're talking about Dagestan. You're talking about, like, we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago, how this was reaching uncharted territory. So I'm not necessarily surprised that it turned into this. And if you look at the reaction, like what this does to people, this feud, the reaction is emotional, and I get it. And that's part of the appeal of this fight. It's emotional. In the moment, I remember thinking to myself, man, this sucks.
Yeah.
The eyes of the world, the sports world are on us right now, and this is what they're seeing, and we continue to almost shoot ourselves in the foot.
Yeah.
Right? Every time there's something, it's, you know, whether it's, Brock acting the way he did at UFC 100 or UFC 200 when the eyes were on, and the John Jones situation and the Brock, like, it always seems like we continue to shoot ourselves in the foot. And of course, that's not often the case. There's great moments, right, that are worth celebrating last year at MSG. But in this case, the eyes of the sports world were on us, and the sport had a great night up until that moment. And, it was super unfortunate, but it could have been worse. And I think that Conor not pressing charges tells you how he feels about the whole situation.
Absolutely.
And I firmly believe that they will use this footage and that they will use this moment to sell the rematch. Dana White, you know, saying you did well over 2 million today. Why wouldn't they?
Why wouldn't they?
Yeah.
You mentioned all these moments. What has been the lasting repercussions of any of that?
Nothing.
It's very momentary.
Yeah.
It happens that night.
It's disgusting.
It happens for a week.
It's disappointing.
Then it turns into a promo, and then we move on. There's really not a precedent for any of those moments having lasting repercussions.
If you think that they are not going to do this rematch, you have not been paying attention.
For sure.
And it's not about does he deserve it. It's not about merit. It's about who draws the most. And the world will watch it. There's no doubt about it. That world will watch it. And they will sell it. And it will maybe even do better.
Yeah, one of the reasons that we watch this sport, one of the reasons that we enjoy it, one of the reasons that people continue to call things violence and things like that is because there's an element of danger to it. If there was no element of danger, it would be a different thing. There is an element to this that people want to see, regardless of whether they feel Khabib should be punished for his actions, whether they think it's right or wrong. The idea that something can go off the rails, the idea that somebody can be hurt is one of the appeals, is one of the things that people watch for. If everything was sanitized, if everything was strategic point fighting, nobody would watch. That's just not what this is. And the idea that some of that now spills outside of the cage is what we have to like deal with and live with. There is an element to this that is unsafe. There is an element to this that is not sanitized, that is not controlled. And that lack of control is something that I think appeals. And the reason why these promos are so interesting, the reason why when Khabib says, "Send me location," is because the implication is when you send him the location, these two will be on the street and they will get into a fight and everybody's lapping it up and eating it up. Send me location. Ah, it's so funny. He wasn't joking. He's serious. He wants you to send him location. And that element of danger, that idea that Khabib is a gangster or whatever, you know, people want to attribute to that, is what's appealing, is something that is inside of us and that is at a base level something that we want. So this chaos, I think it's something that we kind of court and something that will definitely not have a negative impact. Now, maybe there's viewers that weren't going to watch again anyway that are going, this is not for me. I don't think they were going to be the ones you were going to hook. They're not the long-term ones that you were going to get anyway.
Soccer moms.
Soccer moms tuning in are going to go, oh, this is disgusting.
Yeah.
Now, there's some strong voices out there that will say that, but I don't think that will be the people that would have been converted anyway. I don't think those are the people that would have gone, I like this. I think you're more likely to get more people watching because of it. The attention that this has gotten, I think you're much more likely to have a positive impact than a negative impact.
Because people don't watch MMA through the same lens that they watch the NFL or the NBA. To them, this is Saturday night at the circus.
Yeah.
And the circus delivered. And it's the closest thing to real life pro wrestling for them, the way they view WWE. Like, I see it too. I see respected journalists, the way they talk about MMA, and they treat it more like WWE than they do, you know, as far as holding it to a standard. It's way different than MLB, NHL. Now, I said earlier that you know, Connor's hands were clean in that moment, in that like 3 minutes. But I just want to be very clear. I don't think anyone's hands are clean when you talk about April to October. Do you agree with that? Like what I said at the top of the show in terms of, hey, Chris Eubank calling me. I'll call him back. In terms of, you know, the build from April to October, everyone played a part in this becoming, you know, this combustible situation.
It's very important to differentiate between excusing something and just recognizing something. By saying that Conor McGregor, Khabib, the UFC, everybody played a part in this escalating to the point that it did, is not saying that Khabib had free reign to do what he wanted, to attack somebody outside the cage, or for his teammates and friends to jump into the cage and attack somebody. By acknowledging that there was a build to this, by acknowledging that other people were party to it, you're not saying that that gives him any right that he wants to go do that thing. And I think people are confusing the idea that by acknowledging that, you're saying he was allowed to. He was not allowed to. And I disagree with you on one thing. I think he should be punished in a significant way.
Who's this?
Khabib.
Okay.
I think he should be punished
in
a significant way.
What does significant way mean?
I don't know what that is. That's not for me.
By the way, that's on the UFC than Nevada.
Right.
When you say significant, you have to have an idea. What is a significant
The reason I say significant, and it's not necessarily one specific thing or another, I say significant because the situation that we're talking about, the lead up to this, is what Khabib reacted to, is that Conor McGregor was unchecked. He was doing something that now led to this. If we now say, Khabib, you have a slap on the wrist or no punishment for this, we're just continuing to go down that same path. It's just going to lead to the same thing. Mm-hmm. There has to be some repercussion for acting that way. Now, that's not without saying that we don't understand why he felt that way. He's just not allowed to act that way. I think Chael, as you said, has summed it up perfectly. Like, you know, the build up to this was what it was, and that's when you have to leave it in the cage after that point.
Yeah.
So I don't know what significant is. If he was stripped, would I feel that he was, that it was unjustified, that he was done wrong by this? I would say no.
Oh, man, that would create a holy war. Because I know, because on the other hand, you have Conor, who, you know, was stripped.
Yep.
But in the buildup of this fight, they're giving him his belt back, essentially. Like, they are assisting him in holding. It's not Chael showing up at UFC on Fox 2 before Rashad Evans with the fake belt. They're actually saying here, they're fonting him on embedded as 2A world champion. Now you're going to take the belt away from Khabib. I'm not trying to say Khabib's hands are clean either. I mean, he ignited this. There is no brawl if he doesn't jump in there. None of this happens.
Yeah,
the fight is over.
Conor was not interested in that.
No,
at that
he was
point.
Done. Look at the look on his face. Yeah. He was done. It was over in that moment.
And we expect that from Conor.
Yeah.
Conor, when the fight is done, and he typically
And you could say, like, Dylan sat here and said some stuff about Khabib, but, like, did he, you know, did that warrant jumping in? No, crazy things are just said all the time. But this was the buildup of everything that was said.
Yeah.
In a weird way, Khabib was directing his vitriol in the wrong direction.
Sure, certainly.
Like, it should have been in Conor's direction. He just beat him. So maybe that was enough in his mind, and now he wanted to do a little more. But I just think because you set the precedent of doing nothing, and because there is a double standard in this sport, because if Ray Borg was the one throwing dollies, he'd be gone. Dana said it at the post-fight press conference. I just couldn't believe it. Said it in the post-fight press conference. If any of those people are under UFC contract,
they're gone.
What? What do you mean? You literally just, like, you in this case, you cannot play that game. Like, everyone has to be treated the same in this case, in my opinion.
I think as far as the UFC goes, as far as Nevada goes,
well, it's up to of course. No, Nevada's under a different set of rules because they are licensed fighters in that moment. Conor is not licensed in New York. They couldn't do anything. Nevada can't strip him. They can fine him. They can suspend him.
Yep.
They also can't cut him. They can't cut him from the UFC.
That's a promotional decision.
Right. So I fully expect a suspension of some kind. I fully expect a fine. But to suggest him getting stripped or to suggest any of those guys, as much as I disagree with what they did, I just don't know how you justify it.
Well, what would be the UFC's motivation to even do that at this point?
He said it.
No. Let's set aside the people, the ancillary figures involved. I'm talking about Khabib specifically.
Uh-huh.
What would be their motivation to strip him? What would be their motivation to do that?
It makes no sense.
They have not done that in the past. Why would they establish a new precedent now on that? They will more than likely, and I think it would be the right move, wait to see what Nevada does and support. And
well, this is the time that the UFC sort of hides behind the ideas like we're regulated by the government. They could put their foot down if they want.
They could,
but they're not.
It doesn't behoove them.
If, I don't know, Sergio Pettis ran into the crowd and started beating up Jussier Formiga's team, he would have been gone. Dana would have been at the press conference. He would have killed him. It's just different. There's different rules for different people. And so
there are.
In this moment, it's very clear that Conor has a different set of rules. Khabib has a different set of rules. He's not getting cut.
No.
Khabib's teammates should not be cut either, even though they're 100% expendable. Like, no one knows
but
who they are.
You yourself are acknowledging the rules are different. Like,
Yeah. No, so I'm saying this whole story needs to be different.
Yeah. I mean,
it just has to be. You can have different rules within the same story. The whole story has to be the same. You can't pick this guy's going to get in trouble, but this guy's not going to get in trouble. Like, that's just a little. I mean, listen.
Their part in it was different as well.
I've been proven wrong before, but that one seems completely unjustifiable. But who knows?
Sometimes there's no rhyme or reason to this.
That's just the thing. Total whimsical.
There's no reason to set the precedent now. There's no reason.
We can sit here and debate this all day. There is no reason. You can send me all your Zapruder films you want. Every angle of Conor throwing the first punch. I mean, what is prompting that? I can't even. Anyway, you could sit there and do it all day. It's unprecedented stuff for our sport. And also there's no rhyme. There's no code.
No.
There's no fighter code. They can say that
there is
one.
They can hand out the punishment as they feel fit, if any punishment. Nevada is the separate issue.
It was a bummer in the moment. Now here I am 48 hours later or so, and I'm saying, you know what? We should have probably expected something like this. And again, I think they did a great job of containing it as much as they did. Now, Khabib wins. Let's say he remains champ. Does it have to be Ferguson?
That's a snake bitten fight, isn't it?
I don't know. What do you do? Who's next? I did a poll. Let me find it while you're answering that.
If you're asking me what I'd like to see, it's Khabib versus Tony Ferguson.
That's a fight. Like, I wish they could just not tell us about the fight.
Yeah, let's just have it pop up.
Yeah, because it just seems
What? Maybe they've been saving that for New York. Maybe they haven't been telling us about the fight. And all of a sudden,
could you imagine?
At UFC 230. That's the fight I want to see. Is that the fight that you need to make? I could see a case for a rematch with Conor McGregor. There's no doubt that Conor McGregor is going to want that. It seems to be the case, after losing to Nate, he asked for that rematch immediately. I don't think this case will be different. I imagine he will be clamoring for a fight with Khabib, and who would argue with that being a big money fight? So they've got some options there, but for me, the fight I would like to see is Khabib versus Tony Ferguson.
Well, 39,000 plus people voted. 73% say Tony Ferguson, 17% say Conor McGregor, 10% say the winner of Dustin Poirier versus Nate Diaz. I also asked, who do you want to see Conor McGregor fight next?
Mm-hmm.
You want to weigh in?
I'd like to hear the
45,000 people. I don't think we've ever had in the 40s.
These are very high.
43% say Nate Diaz. And I only put Nate Diaz because I don't think that he will rematch Dustin. And I think that you can make the case that Nate Diaz gets the fight with a win or a loss.
Right.
So it doesn't really matter. 23% say Khabib. 19% say Tony Ferguson, and 15% say other. In hindsight, per your suggestion, I wish I put Ali Abdelaziz as the last
one. That is the money fight, I think.
I mean, what a feud that has turned into.
Yeah, there's definitely heat there. Enough to sell a pay-per-view, I know that.
So there you have it. Conor versus Nate.
I think that's, for me, that's the answer as well. There's no, it doesn't hold up anything. It doesn't have an impact on the title picture. Khabib and Tony are free to have that fight. I think that's probably the one I'd like to see as well. Although you made an important point on why Dustin wouldn't be the answer there, why would Conor grant him that? But I wouldn't be mad if that was the fight
that
was made.
I just don't think that that's a fight that gets
no, him. Yeah. From Conor's perspective, it does not make sense as a fight to take. I'd like to see it, though. That's for sure.
Tony Ferguson, Derek Lewis, Dominic Reyes, Aspen Ladd.
Great performance.
Lance Holtzman, Martin. Any other performance you want to talk about from Saturday?
I mean,
that really
I feel like
out?
You covered every yeah. single one of them.
No, but is there one that really got you?
Out of, I mean, Derek Lewis, that's...
I just love that Derek Lewis has become this social media darling.
Beyond
when he
that,
has like the word, like his Instagram is so not safe for work.
I think
it's just amazing.
I want to make a point here, and it's important, I think. We get swept up in the idea of Derek Lewis as, you know, a social media maven and as a post-fight staple, as somebody that will always deliver in the post-fight speech. He's a good fighter.
Yeah,
like, the fighting is such an important part of this. Because of the way his fights go, there's a tendency to kind of discount. But in the heavyweight division, Derek Lewis is somebody that you can reliably expect first round or third round can win a fight. And I don't think you can say that about everybody. I don't think you can say that about everybody at heavyweight. I don't think you can say that about everybody in any of the divisions. Derek Lewis is good. Derek Lewis deserves credit for not only the things that he does on the mic afterwards and not only on social media. The guy has put it together. Even when he's getting what looks like dominated, even when he's getting steamrolled, he finds a way to come back and win. He should get some credit for his fighting too, even though that's not what we want to really talk about. And I think that's often overlooked. But Derek Lewis was a performance. Who else? Big win for Michelle Waterson.
Yeah.
Over Felice Herrig. That was a fight where she was being counted out a little bit. You know, it wasn't stylistically amazing, but Formiga did exactly what he needed to do to get past Sergio Pettis. I think it was more a little bit of a letdown fight for Pettis, but Formiga keeping himself relevant in that division, always within striking distance, and Tony Ferguson. I mean, there's almost
incredible.
Nothing you can say about that.
And it was cool to see how emotional he was afterwards. I thought he hit a home run all week with his
he did
with his scrum and his pre-fight stuff and showing up with the belt and just being almost like wonderfully weird.
It's very hard to carve out a space when the headliners are that big and
yeah.
the gravity around that is so strong, but he found a way to do it. The talk of Tony Ferguson wasn't as big an afterthought as it could have been with a fight of that magnitude, so kudos to him. He definitely inserted himself into that.
Now, looking ahead as we're running out of time here, when I say Valentina Shevchenko versus Zijara Eubanks for the UFC women's flyweight title, what do you think?
Fantastic fight.
Is it really?
I think it's a fine fight.
Come on. Especially when you were dangled the Valentina Shevchenko versus Joanna Jędrzejczyk carrot, you're going to get excited. I can't get excited when I knew what I once had.
No problem with the fight. Like the fight. Think Zijara is worthy and very good. Don't need it to be the main event of UFC 230. Don't think it makes that card anymore.
Especially not at the expense of Joanna versus Valentina.
Yeah, don't think that you need to take the fight away from Joanna to make that fight to put at the headline of 230. If that's a fight anywhere else, any other time, any other situation, I like that fight. I like that fight a lot. I don't think there's any problem
but
with
again,
the fight
itself.
But
again, looking at it...
In this situation,
yes.
unnecessary
yeah.
is how I'd respond.
The whole thing is just such a mess. Still working, I hear, and there's a reason why they haven't come out, but like, it's
yeah.
less, what is it, October 8th? That would be 22 plus 3, 25 days away.
I've not seen any official announcement, so it's a very strange situation.
Gosh, what a mess. I spoke to John Jones last week.
I saw that.
Any takeaways? What do you think? Did he seem, I'll tell you.
Yeah, actually I'd like to hear your thoughts.
I actually thought it was one of the better John Joneses that I spoke to.
In what sense?
Well, he seemed honest. He seemed, you know, he talked about checking himself into rehab. So, you know, he was vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't trying to be defiant. You know, he's still saying that he was innocent, which I don't know if I agree with. You're given a punishment. You're not innocent if you're given a punishment.
Mm-hmm.
But his line of thinking is, you know, I didn't get the full suspension. Asked him about the snitching. And he said he didn't snitch on anyone in MMA. And that's the same thing that he said to Malky. It's there in writing.
Yep.
You know, I don't know if the arbitrator is going to lie. So ask for the follow-up, and they're sticking to those guns. And I guess, you know, unless they come out and actually show information that he gave, it's kind of hard to, you know, to prove it. So, he got the 30-month suspension reduced, right, from 45 to 15, 30 months. And that's that. He said that he's, getting ready, if you will, for Alexander Gustafsson on December 29th, but
not official.
And also that he doesn't really seem to care. That's the one time I didn't really believe him to fight Daniel Cormier again. I do believe that they will fight again. Did you watch PFL?
I did not.
Yeah, I didn't either. I was. I think they're back again this weekend for another Friday. Same time as Bellator. Are you going to any of those Bellator things?
I will not. I'm out of the town.
Where are you going?
Later this week.
You can't tell us? We can't say you're out of town and then not tell us where you're going.
Is on Friday, weird? I'm going to a wedding.
Okay.
In Martha's Vineyard.
Whoa. Look at you.
And then I'll be back.
Whoa. Why are you so secretive about it?
No reason.
Weird.
But I will not be around.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. Although I kind of wish, if you look at both cards,
yeah,
I sort of wish that they were, you know,
combined.
Yeah. They're a little top heavy.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at some of the names. You know what? As we were talking, odds came out on the fight.
Really? Because they knew we were taping the show.
They had, yeah. Look, they're crust first too.
That's right.
We initially just had odds for Mitrione and Bader and Sonnen and Emelianenko. Now we've got odds for, what looks like the main cards of each. There's a lot of names that I'm not, you know, familiar with. I think if you combine those two cards, you would have had a really, really stacked card. But that said, I mean, the top fights are ones that I'm definitely interested in and I think will draw attention. So there we go.
Wow. Who's who calling me during our show? Now it's Daniel Cormier.
Oh.
Should I pick it up on the air?
Let's do it.
I don't want to do that. Although it would be good to get his thoughts on the melee.
Yeah. I think, well, he was one of the people that was definitely, with Luke, a peacemaker, but B, very definitive and very strong in his opinion of why this happened, why it could have happened, why it played out a certain way, and defending Habib as he could.
He's telling me something. Let me just see.
This is great.
On the air. Do you want to speak on the air? You know, this is what you do when you do a post show. You know, things get a little funky.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts? Anything you want to share? Did you make any bets?
No.
I
look at the lines.
Yeah.
I think about them. I analyze them. I've stepped away from the actual wagering game.
That's it. It's over.
I've got a new house. I've got a new car. I've got a new baby. You know, I have to be a little more conservative.
All right.
You know.
Well, it was a crazy weekend, right?
It was.
You watched it alone?
My wife was up with me.
Okay.
I was reacting to the melee.
Yeah.
And she was just looking at me like I'm an idiot. She didn't understand the magnitude of what was happening.
What? She didn't understand people brawling in the crowd being a big deal? I mean, I feel like you kind of just...
I mean, I think there's a certain sect of people who are not familiar that think that that's what MMA events are.
Oh, my.
My wife...
Your wife being one of those?
Maybe.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times on Saturday night. And I think in the end, thankfully, the big takeaway, no one got seriously hurt.
Absolutely.
Chael telling me that, how do we know no one got seriously hurt? But I'd like to think no one got seriously hurt. And I think there are lessons to be learned here. Now, will those lessons be applied? Absolutely not. If they fight again, it will be just as emotional. It will be just as tense. It will be just as dramatic. And do you think right now, predict, do they fight again?
Yeah, of course they fight again.
Or at least booked.
They will fight again.
Right.
I said that last week too.
Plenty more to come this week, but for now, we shall say goodbye. It has been a fun time. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the coverage. It was like the first time that I got the full ESPN experience as far as covering an event is concerned, a big event. We did a whole bunch of stuff, and I thought it was fun. I got to do a post-fight reaction with the great Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah.
In full Stephen A. Smith glory. There was a moment where he was like full Stephen A. Smith, and I was sitting there sort of having an out-of-body experience. I was like, wow. Usually I'd be home on the couch watching this, and now I am, you know, facing it.
Yeah.
Head on. And it was fun.
Not only facing it, facilitating it.
Yeah.
You're part of it.
I don't know if I was facilitating it, but actually I thought his insight was very valuable.
I agree.
I mean, he was there. He was an eyewitness, right?
I think he gets a bad rap for his knowledge of MMA.
Congratulations to Khabib Nurmagomedov. He is still, at least as of right now, the UFC lightweight champion. We'll see what happens as far as Nevada is concerned. We'll see what happens as far as the UFC is concerned. We'll see what happens as far as Khabib and Conor's next fights are concerned. For now, though, we are out of time. I appreciate everyone watching either the show earlier today or the post-fight show. Plenty more coverage to come. And, of course, we shall be on Long Island for Bellator on Saturday night. Hope you have a great week. Thanks so much for watching. If you missed anything, check it out. iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, all those places and more. See you next week.